Now I can say it. Good morning, church. Good morning, body of Christ. I'm addressing the hands, the feet, the mouths, the ears. We are the pieces of the body of Christ, kind of each in different places right now. But we are here to worship the head, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are so glad that we can do it together. If you would do us a favor, if you would take a picture of those that you're worshiping with, post it to Instagram and Facebook with the hashtag C3Together. We will we would appreciate that to get to know who we're worshiping with. Right now, we're going to raise a hallelujah to the head of this body, and that is to our Lord. I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. Our weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me. I raise a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a hallelujah. Lost your hold on me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is defeated, the King is alive. This time I would divide up who's going to sing. Sing a little louder in the echo part. I'm going to leave that up to you on this one. Divide it up how you wish.
Sing a little louder
in the presence of my enemies.
Sing a little louder,
louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder,
my weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
Sing a little louder
in the presence of my enemy.
Sing a little louder.
Louder than the unbelief.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon is a melody.
Sing a little louder.
Heaven comes to fight for me.
I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm. Louder and louder, you're gonna hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will arise. Death is a hallelujah. I raise a
I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come, knowing the battle's won, for you have never failed me. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet.
Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet.
I'll see you do it.
promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail.
Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never failed me yet.
You've never failed me yet. I never will forget. You've never failed me yet. I never will forget.
Well, hello, everybody. I wanted to just start by thanking all of you. Many of you know, on Tuesday, my mom passed away, and there has been an outpouring of love and support and condolences from you. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. We did the graveside service on Friday, and we are down the road. We're going to have a memorial service for her, but I just thank you for your support. Also, we got news that Betty Reeser passed away on Friday, so we need to be praying for DJ and Amanda, and she's now with the Lord, so we rejoice. We got several announcements that I want to bring to you. Tonight at 8:30 is Crosspoint's very first all-church trivia night hosted on Zoom by Gary and Janice Abood, and you can visit the church website, yourc3.org/trivia, and get all the details. Today is Palm Sunday, and as we enter into Holy Week, Crosspoint is offering many ways in which we can acknowledge and make this time special in these unique circumstances. First of all, the Women at Crosspoint has an online interactive devotional that you can take advantage of. You can visit it at Women at Crosspoint Facebook page, or contact Tracy Guzmano. And the discipleship at Crosspoint has provided a prayer devotional, which would be included in today's program that you were sent, or you can reach out to the office. But you should receive an email that has that in there. And then this week, the elders want to make this time, this Holy Week, special. And so we have many things that we're going to be sending out in the e-news on Tuesday, but this would include on Wednesday, we want to have a day of fasting before our prayer time. We want to really make this a time of just seeking the Lord, not only on the whole aspect of what's going on in this world, but really looking to the cross and Christ's work for us. And this program was going to be on Wednesday. On Thursday, we're going to have a thing called Journey to the Cross. And you're going to get details about that. And then on Good Friday, we are having a Good Friday service at 7 o'clock. And we want you to tune in and worship together there. And then Crosspoint has partnered with the Guild of St. John's to collect items for use in homes dedicated for resting healthcare workers. We're calling it Dr. Drive, and this link has more information. It's in today's program that we're sent to you, or it's on our website, and we want to encourage you to reach out and help in that. And then an update to the Zoom virtual classes has been made necessary to add passwords to our meetings, and now with the link, there will be a password for each class. And so if you're planning on dropping into that 11 study right now, the password is C3 David. It's all lowercase letters. So we have one more announcement, and I'm going to have Pastor Jason come, and he's going to give that at this time.
Good morning. Usually, an announcement like this would be made by someone from the leadership board, but they're at home today. And so I am bringing to you a request that they are making for a special call business meeting this Wednesday night at 6 o'clock p.m. via Zoom. Members will get an invite with a link and the password, and you'll be invited to be a part of the meeting at 6 o'clock this Wednesday night. The meeting will be held in order to approve a non-budgeted item, allowing for our church and the nursery school to file for the Stimulus Payroll Protection Program as soon as possible. The Stimulus Payroll Protection is for small businesses and nonprofits of 500 or fewer employees. It's used for help in making payroll and providing employee benefits, and it is to keep employees working and having money for their needs while the business or church may have lost part of its income. It also puts money back into the economy. This is not a request that's being made out of fear, I was asked to say, nor is there any kind of impending emergency. However, it will help us to be able to make this request if we can have the meeting this Wednesday and give approval to the leadership board to proceed in this direction. If you have questions about that, because I'm sure there are some, you can contact the church office or you can contact our Deacon of Finance, Jim Johnson, and you may find his email on our church website as well. Right now is a time in service when we typically go to prayer together, and we're going to do that even though we aren't gathered. And so in your homes right now, wherever you may be, if you're alone, this is your time to focus in on our continued time of worship here today. If you are worshiping with other people in your home, I encourage someone right now to lead that group in prayer. In a few moments, Ed will bring us back together with music. But right now is an important time for us to be praying in every home, wherever we're meeting right now.
Provide peace through your Spirit. That's why we're coming to you. We know that you provide power. That's why we're coming to you. We of ourselves cannot do anything. I'm learning that more and more during this time. I have no power against this. You have ultimate power. And what's more, you love us enough to send your Son to die for us. Even while we were rejecting you, we love you. Thank you for loving us first. And thank you for loving us most. I lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father to the fatherless, defender of the weak, freedom for the prisoner. sing. This is God in His holy place. This is God, both in love and strength. Sing out, lift your voice and cry out. Awesome is our strong God, mighty is our God. With us in the wilderness, faithful to provide every breath and every step we see. This is God in His holy place. This is God, clothed in love and strength. Sing out, lift your voice and cry out. Awesome is our strong God, mighty is our God. Sing out, raise your hands and shout out. Awesome is our strong God, mighty is our God. There is none higher, none greater, no, there is none stronger than our God. There is none higher, no, there is none greater, no, there is none stronger than our God.
Strength of flesh and bone. But in the costly wounds of love at the cross, my worth is not in skill or name, in win or lose, in pride or shame, but in
in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. And I will trust in Him, no other. My soul is satisfied in Him alone. Fade and die, fame, youth, and beauty hurry by, but life eternal calls to us at the cross. I will not boast in wealth or might or human wisdom's fleeting light, but I will boast in knowing Christ at the cross. I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in Him, no other.
My value fixed, my ransom paid at the cross.
I rejoice in my Redeemer, greatest treasure, wellspring of my soul. I will trust in Him, no other, my soul.
Back January 26th of this year, at 9:06 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, basketball legend Kobe Bryant and eight others perished in a helicopter accident. And in the time leading up to his funeral, Kobe Bryant autograph memorabilia was selling like, it was selling like hotcakes. It really was. And eBay was selling a lot of things. They were selling this Kobe Bryant and Lakers starting five, hand-signed, authentic calendar. And they were selling it for $9,975, and there were 75 bids on that thing. But, and this whole thing right here comes from an article or a newscast out in California, it was all fake. There was all of these fake memorabilia, and people say, well, you have to have a certificate of authenticity. And authenticity. They were even faking that. They were forging that one. And we live in a world where there's a lot of fakes. There's a lot of imitations. There's fake watches. There's fake news, which is nothing new. There's fake cures for this thing that's going on. There's a lot of things that are fake in this world. And the same thing can be true of God's people. There are people who come to church or watch online and call themselves Christians, but in reality, they're not the real deal. And Scripture calls us to examine ourselves. We're in 2 Corinthians 13:5, we're called to examine ourselves whether we are in the faith and to test ourselves. And there's plenty of warnings out there where the Scripture says to be careful. There's false believers. Jesus said, watch out for false teachers. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter in the kingdom of heaven. And so we're going to look at a passage that deals with this whole concept. So we're going to have Gabe Loper, who's at home. He is going to read this passage for us.
Good morning. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if needed be, you have been grieved by various trials, that in the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Gabe. So we're going to jump into this, and really I want to start with really just thinking about this whole thing. Are we real? How do we know if we're real? And there's a lot in the Scripture that we're going to look at. First of all, we can rejoice that the Lord has your future. And I want to start by looking at the first four words in verse 6. It says, in this you rejoice. Now, that phrase, rejoice, is the idea of intense, supreme, abundant happiness. And it is not a tentative or based on circumstances or feeling. Matter of fact, these words point back to verses 3 through 5, which Pastor Jason talked about last week. And so, what did he look at last week? Well, he looked at our future is defined by Christ's past. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This whole week to come, we're going to be looking towards the Passion Week, and we're going to be looking towards the finished work of Christ on the cross for him, for us, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, of which we have life, we have hope, and we understand this message of Easter that we're coming up to. When we understand the gospel, it changes everything. You see, there's no guarantee that you're not going to get this virus that's going around. By God's grace, no one in our church, to my knowledge, has it, although many of you know people who have it or they have been impacted by it, but it's out there. And yet, to know for the believer, listen, the Lord has my life. And to know that there is a hope for me and he has it. And he goes on to say that our future is described. We have an inheritance, it says in verse 4, that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and then it goes on to say that it's kept in heaven for you. We don't have to worry because we know that absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is better by far, and it is kept by Jesus. It says, whom by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So in those things, knowing our future, we can rejoice. He has us. But here's the danger. The danger is that you can say, yeah, I know the Lord has my future, but what about now? And there is this danger that we can be all negative and pessimistic and worried, and we could be wringing our hands and complaining, and there's a lot of it going on. And can I tell you this? There's a lot of reason that, humanly speaking, we would want to be that way. Which leads me to point two, that we can rejoice the Lord has your now, and he is working. He has, if you know Jesus as your Savior, he has your now. He has it, and he is working. The Bible is clear that we live in a fallen world. There is suffering, there is pain, and suffering is painful, or else it wouldn't be described as suffering. But God will never leave you. God has you. As in Christ, he has you. He will work all things together for good. And I think this is the hardest thing. This is the hardest concept for us, because we want to know what's going to happen, but we have to trust God's word. How can we rejoice in trials now and know that he is working? Well, let me just give you a few things. Point A, trials are for a little while. It says in verse 6, in this rejoice, you rejoice, though now for a little while. You know what a little while means? It means a little while. I think that we are all sinfully impatient, and we want to know, how long is this going to go on for? How long are people going to be out of work? How long is this going to happen? And I said 2 weeks ago, it's going to go as long as the sovereign God of the universe wants it to go. But I will redefine that a little bit to say, and it's going to be for a short time. It's just going to be for a little while. And we know that because it happens. And Scripture says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going through it. This is a temporary thing. And it may be a month or two or three. It may be a year. It may be 10 years. You know what? It may be the rest of our lives. But we know, okay, even then it's a short time. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, and I love this passage. When I used to get to go to the hospital, I would read this to people all the time. And it says this, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Why? For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Light and momentary. Then it goes on to say this in verse 18, for we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. It is light. It is momentary. I FaceTimed this week Mark Tobler, and I've talked about Mark before. Mark's, good chance Mark is watching right now. And Mark has MS, and he lies in a bed. He has to have someone get him up into his chair. We've had a video of him before, and my heart goes out to him. And I say this to him, and I'll say it to him again right now. Mark, you're having a light and momentary trouble that is achieving for you an eternal glory that far outweighs everything. So, brother, fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You know, it really, life is going to pass by. It's a vapor. I remember talking to Fro Hiller, who, when she turned 100 years old, and I remember saying, you know, how do you feel about that happening? And she said, I blinked. Once I was like 50, I blinked again, and I was 100, and I just said to myself, I got to stop blinking, and I mentioned that before. But I do think there's something about, listen, it's a light and momentary trouble, and it seems terrible now, and we're wringing our hands, but God is in control, which leads me to the second point. Trials are designed by God. It says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. That's an interesting phrase, if necessary. Paul added that, or Peter added this interesting phrase, and it's translated, had to be grieved by various trials in the NIV. But Tom Schreiner in his commentary says, the idea that suffering believers experience are not the result of fate or of impersonal force. And that's not just something that's just happening. They are God's will for the believers. You see, God is not in heaven grabbing his head saying, wow, look at what's happening to the world. Look at this pandemic. Look at all these people that are dying. That is not happening at all. God is God, and he is sovereign over everything. 1 Peter says this, therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful creator while doing good. He says to the sparrow, it doesn't fall to the ground apart from his will or knowledge. And I can't help it enough to say we got to have a big view of God, that he has our lives. Just like the book of Job, he'll say, this far it can go and no further. There is a quote by Charles Haddon Spurgeon that I love. I've used it before, but I thought appropriate to use it this time. He said this, it would be a very sharp and trying experience to me. Let me put it up there for you. It would be a very sharp and trying experience to me to think that I have an affliction which God never sent, that the bitter cup was never filled by his hand, that my trials were never measured out by him, nor sent to me by his arrangement of their weight and quantity. And you might not like that, but it's the reality that God is God, and my hope is not in doctors, though we pray for them. Our hope is in the Lord, and we can trust him. And in this world, you know, we have trouble. I just want to say a word to young people that are listening. I know as parents, we do everything we can to try to protect you from suffering and difficulty. And as I've gotten older, I'm getting old now, okay? I see it more and more. Parents try to insulate their children from anything that might be difficult and hard. We don't even use the word discipline anymore. We want to soften it. And yet we live in a fallen world. We live in a sin-cursed world. And Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. So, okay, here's what's going to happen. In time, God will remove this pandemic. You know what's going to happen? You're still going to have trouble. There are still things that go bad. Outwardly, we waste away. There's bad things that happen. There are evil people that are out there. Ourselves, we battle with that. There's things, there's relationships that are hard. And yet, through this all, and by the way, these trials, these various trials, they are various. Everybody has them. Rich, poor, I don't care who you are, male, female. I don't care where you come from, what you think you know. You know what I do know? In this world, we're going to have troubles, but we're to be of good cheer because he has overcome this world. This is a light and momentary trouble. And I'm with you. I don't like them. I don't like the trials, but I can trust him. And so can you if you know him as your Savior. You can trust that he has a design and he's working, which leads us. We talked about how we can rejoice in this trial because it's for a little while. It's by his design. And the third thing, trials test the genuineness of your faith, of our faith. In verse 7, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know why we're having these various trials? Because the Lord is, he's just trying to find out, are we real? Are we real? We may have, by faith, trusted him, and that's great. We might have said the words. We know Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest anyone should boast. We know that we were sinners, we've reached out to him, and we've received him. But the danger is that you could just say the words. There are churches full of people that say the words, and there's many in this church that say the words, but as we go through this trial, the Lord uses it to say, okay, we're going to see who's real and who's not. Real testing happens, and when we're tested, it builds us up. It's kind of like lifting weights. For those of you that exercise, you go to the gym and you crunch and you work out real hard, and that's a great thing. And what does it do? It builds your muscles up, and you come back stronger. Well, There's a lot that the Bible says about these things called trials. And again, they're hard verses. But look at James chapter 1. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. How can we count it all joy? Why? For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The word perfect is the idea of mature. As we trust him, we grow through it. We will naturally grow through it. In Romans chapter 5, verse 3, it says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing, there's a product in this, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. And so God, he uses this. He takes it and he uses it in our lives. It's interesting, if you go to Matthew 13 and you read about the parable of the seed, and the seed is cast into four different kinds of soil. When it's thrown onto the hard ground, it says when he's given the interpretation, when anyone who hears the word in the kingdom of and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches what has been sown in his heart, and that is the seed that is along the path. Verse 20 says in Matthew 13, as for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a little while, and when tribulations, persecution arises on account of the word, he immediately falls away. And then he talks about the other one. As for what was sown along the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And so there's another bad soil, but here's what we want to be, and here's what trials do. As for the one who's sown on the good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He is indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold and another 60-fold and in another 30. And so what is it? It is that as we go through these trials, he is bearing fruit. Can I just say this? God is using this time. It's no fun for anybody. But God is using these trials in many ways. For some, God is calling the world to repent and to turn their lives to him. There's conversations that are going on every day where people, I've had unbelievers say to me, is this the end of the world? It's like, no, I don't know. But I know this much, that God is calling to you to repent and to say, I need a Savior. And for some, God is calling a bunch of people who at one time had a depth of relationship that loved Jesus more than they do now. And as it says in Revelation with one of the churches, they've lost their first love. And God is loving enough to discipline us and to get our attention. You know, when I was a little kid, youngest of five boys, we'd be driving and there would be times where our parents, you know, my mom would want to get our attention, and we'd be fighting in the back. And you know, it is before seatbelts. And you know what she'd do? She'd just tap the brake. And you know what happens when you tap the brake? You kind of go flying forward. She wouldn't do hard to hurt us, but she would get our attention. And you know, the mamby-pamby world we live in now would say, well, that's child abuse. And it's like, okay, great, it was, whatever. But I will tell you this much. When the Lord disciplines us, because the scripture says, whom the Lord loves, he does discipline. And when he disciplines us, his discipline is not abusive. It is discipline, though. And so, and it's perfect. And it's loving discipline. Whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And so there's a lot of people that the Lord is kind of saying, okay, really? Do you love me? Do you love me then? Do you love me now that all the little props that you have been taken away? We need to be the people who look at this and they say, okay, it's not a fun time, but he's using this suffering. He's proven our genuineness. There's some of you, there's so much I'd like to say. There's some, though, that God's calling you, come back to me and get real. There's a third thing that he's doing, and he's causing us to grow. Going back to 1 Peter, he says, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let it have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." You know, I mentioned this week, my mom passed away on Tuesday. We did the funeral on Friday, and yesterday it was kind of like a calm day in one sense. And so I went back to my journal. 2 years ago, my wife and I decided to sell our house and to move my mom in and potentially her mom in, as they were 90, at that time, 92 and 93. And Jane and I had a lot of time to talk yesterday. And these last 2 years have been the hardest 2 years of our lives. It has been, my wife has been great, but she would tell you that, and I would as well, that this has revealed in us all kinds of things that we needed to have pruned out of our lives. Our selfishness, our self-centeredness, our whining. It has been very humbling. And really over the last, our parents, you know, my mom died this week. Her mom died 87 days beforehand. But look back at it, and it's been a very good time. As the Lord is, he's grown us. He's matured us. And we've failed a lot through this whole process. And yet God has been good, and he has and helps us to grow. And again, we look at this and say, thank you, Lord, for your goodness all the way through. And so for me, it's like, okay, the tested genuineness of your faith, it's been a good thing. It has been a hard but good thing. Which leads to the last point. Trials bring the true believer eternal honor from God. It says this in verse 7. Before that, it says, "Grieved by many trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, even though it's tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Who's praise and who's glory? I used to think, oh yeah, we're going to praise Jesus. But Peter's focus here is not on Christians honoring God, though there are many passages that talk about that. This passage is us being honored, so to speak. A couple of commentaries, they had some great things. I want to just read what they said. It says, "God will grant believers praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ when he's revealed. Incredibly, believers who in this life are called to give honor to the Lord always can, by their faithfulness in trials, draw praise from God in the life that is to come." And for us, we don't like to talk about that because it's like, oh, it's not about me. But this is what God's word says about this. He tells us, I mean, he is going to say to many, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And he is going to reward us. He's going to tell us, "You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. "I have fought the fight. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." See, God's going to reward us. And it's an amazing thing. He tells us to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. What we do with our money, we'll get reward or we won't. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad." This is not a judgment or of heaven and hell. That judgment was taken care of by Christ on the cross when we, by faith, trusted him. This is one of rewards. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 12, it says, "If anyone builds on this foundation," the foundation of Christ, "with gold, silver, precious stones," which are good things, "wood, stray, wood, hay, or straw." And then verse 13 says this, "Each one's work will become manifest, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test what sort of work each one has done. If the work that anyone has built on the foundation survives, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, though he himself will be saved, but only as through fire. You see, there's a lot of things that we do that at the end of the day, our works are going to be burned up. But as we stay faithful to him, even in the little things, matter of fact, mostly in the little things, he will reward us. And this is not for us to say, oh, look how great we are. Are you kidding me? We can't make it through life unless we humbly come to him and say, Lord, help me to get through this day. Give us this day our daily bread. Help me to hold on to you. And may we, as we live to honor and glorify him, the amazing thing is that he rewards us through it. So let me wrap all this up. We're going through trials right now, and we need to trust the Lord. Some of you are going through the most difficult time of your life. Your kids are watching you. Everyone's watching. An unbelieving world is watching how we as Christians act. And we need to daily preach God's word to ourselves. We need to be getting in the word. Some of you have massive amounts of time. And now, guess what? You get into the word. We have to every day. We need to walk with people and talk, be in contact with people who will help us along the way. Can I just tell you, I wouldn't have made it the last year and a half if it wasn't for many of you with praying for me and giving wisdom. And so we desperately need each other. All of these trials that the Lord is bringing us through, we have to hold on. We have to hold on to his word. We have to believe his promise. Are you a real Christian? We got to trust him. We have to trust him. May we stay away from whining and complaining. And that is so easy to do. It's so easy to get together and have a little pity party with yourself. We will look back at this time and we will see God has been faithful. This time I've put it like this. It's like riding a roller coaster. How many of you have ridden a roller coaster before? Raise your hand. Okay, I see your hands. All right. I don't like roller coasters. I go on them. But they brutalize you. I mean, you get on the thing and it's like ching, 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 and you're going up this thing. And when I was younger, they had like littler ones. Now these things, they like almost hit in the clouds. And what do you think? You think on the way up, I'm going to die here. I'm going to die. And next thing you know, whew, you're going over the top of that hill and you're flying around and you're getting bounced and you're getting banged. The older I get, the more, you know, you got that thing that comes over your head's banging around. And then you get off, and then you get through the ride. Let me ask you, raise your hand if you've ever died on a roller coaster. Okay, none of you are raising your hand. Why? Because you didn't die. You made it through. And a matter of fact, you're so crazy, down at Cedar Point, you ran into another line and waited 2 hours to get tortured again. We in one sense, we love that kind of thing, but life is like that. We go through this turmoil. We're going through this roller coaster of life. And for some of us, we like I said, we had 2 people die this week. Not of the virus, but to live is Christ and to die will be gain. So I just say to us, hold on, trust him. We just got to know that, Lord, you have this. While we're going through this, do some journaling. Pray, Lord, reveal to me those things that aren't right, that need to change. And I think that this is, we're going to look back at this as the church at some of the best times, because we'll have our tested provenness of our faith. You'll have new priorities as families. You know, right now, some of you are forced to stop, and that's okay. It's all good because you have to. And so I'm going to pray for us, and then Ed's going to lead us in a song. Let's just pray together. Lord, I do say thank you for trials. And yet, Lord, none of us like trials. We want them to end quickly. Lord, we thank you that they are for a little while. Lord, we thank you that they're light and they are momentary. We thank you that you're working through it, that we're going to make it. We thank you that through it all, Lord, you test us and you help us grow. And though it's not always enjoyable, it is, the end result is great. And Lord, we rejoice that one day to live as Christ and to die will be gained. So we give you praise. We thank you. I pray for those that have needs, Lord. I pray for those that don't know you yet, that today would be the day that they call out to you. Lord, we give you glory. We give you praise. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Peace like a river attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this past assurance control, that Christ has regarded my
I want to conclude with just a scripture. It says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to the purpose of his grace, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fulfillment of time to unite all things together in heaven and things on earth. In him we have and obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Lord, we praise you that you are working things. And help us to trust you. Help us to hold on. Lord, as we enter this holy week, Lord, may our gaze be fixed upon the cross and all that you have accomplished for us in the gospel and in Christ. Not on the virus. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on you. And we give you glory. And all God's people said, amen. Have a great week.